Blog Talk Radio.
Together in unity once again around this spectrum.
Father God, we're coming from the north, south, east, and west as pilgrims to this barren land. But God, we know that this world is not our home, for this is just a temporary holdover, because you have a mansion prepared for those of us that are living according to your command. And Father God, I ask you to, hallelujah, to anoint these lips of clay to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardon of their sins. Father God, I'm asking you to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within the epitome of their souls. Father God, we'll be so mindful to give your son Jesus all the glory, all the honor, and all the praises. These and other blessings we ask in your son Jesus' matchless, marvelous name. And we as a unity, pilgrims, journeymen, and journey women of God, kingdom family, we shall all say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And I just thank you for tuning in tonight, because you could be doing so many other things that you could be doing at this present time. But I thank those of you that love God enough and love the gospel of Jesus Christ that I bring to you across these airways. I mean, every time that I get the opportunity to bring you the divine word of truth, I'm coming straight across the aisle with the divine word of truth, the divine word of God as he has it laid out for our spiritual lives. And so, our sermon on tonight entitles A Need for Mercy. Let me say that one more time. A Need for Mercy. And we know that in the law of Deuteronomy 15, God gave the Hebrews an economic empowerment plan that required them to take care of each other. And he specifically, he put emphasis on what he wants them to do. He said, if they would forgive their brothers their debts and would take action to ensure them an adequate standard of living, God would bless them. Hallelujah. And if they would take care of the strangers who entered their gates and would be fair to the widows and orphans, then God would bless their land and it would be fruitful. And God also reminded them that what they had was not the result of their own work, but it was the result of his goodness to their forebears. And we know that in today's world, hallelujah, we seem to have forgotten that it has not been our work, but God's goodness that has made us the strongest and richest nation in the world. But such bountiful is accompanied with responsibility. We know that all we have is lent to us as a trust from God. And if we become tight-fisted and greedy, we should not be so arrogant as to think that things will always be well with us. God wants us, you and I, to understand that just as he had mercy on us, we must have mercy on each other. And when we give to meet the need of others, our attitude makes all the difference. And God is not only concerned with what we give, but God is concerned how we give it. And I believe that one of the greatest tragedies of our society is that we give with the wrong attitude. And therefore, God does not bless our gifts. Merely taking care of the needy out of obligations is not enough. We must do it with a generous and ungrudging heart. And in the same way that God enjoyed blessing his own, we too must learn how to enjoy the blessings that come from taking care of each other. You know, I find out, you know, I be observing different banners and different threads and different readings that come across. And you know, I find out that we, as a 21st generation, look like we don't have much love in our spiritual heart for our brethren and our sisterin. You know, it's like if they tell you they're going to do something and they're not able to carry it out, you know, because all of us have obstacles that come up into our lives that we don't see it coming, and it pays us a surprise visit. But I find out that people, you know, would say, you know, if a person set me up and didn't come through on their word the first time, you know, I let them make it. And then I give them another opportunity, and then they fail the second time. Then they seem to feel that that person has let them down and now is no longer worthy to be in their circle of friends. Now, you know, and I thought about that when that came across. And I said, wait a minute, something is terribly wrong when you have to number the times that you would let a person, you know, maybe, like I said, they have promised you something, and then something came up and interfered with their applications. They weren't able to carry it out, and so another opportunity came across. Yet another, you know, unexpectancy came through, and they weren't able to carry it out a second time. And so people are now saying that, you know, if you didn't come through on your word the first time, I give you another try at it, and then the second time you didn't come through, well, then that means that you're no longer worthy, you know, to be in my circle of friends. And so they have tossed you to the wind. But we fail to realize how many times that we have failed God, how many times that we have not come through on our promissory note that we had with God, our promissory agreement that we had with God, our prayer life that we had with God, when we told God, God, I'm going to be more prayerful than I have been. I'm going to start praying. Instead of praying once a week, I'm going to start praying three times a week. Or I'm going to start praying daily. And how we have fell short. See, we have to give out what we measure out as well. We can't expect no more from anyone else than what we are giving and what we are dishing out. So the same shoe that you want somebody else to wear, you're going to have to be ready and willing and able to put your foot in the same shoe. We got to act our age and not our shoe size. And we got to act like we are Christian and not act like the world. See, when God come into our life and change us, we'll no longer lack the former person that we used to be. God has equipped us with a new spirit within. We have a Jesus type of personality within us. So the way we used to think in the world, we don't think that way over in holiness. And so that is so sad. You know, I saw that on the other evening, and it just pricked me in my heart, and I said, wow, you know, where is the love? Where is the love that you said was mine, all mine, to the end of time? Was it just a lie? Were you just saying that you love me, you love your fellow sister, you love your fellow brother in the Lord? And like I said previously, on previously recording, we all are trying to get to the same place, and that is to see Jesus. Those of you that are living a sanctification lifestyle, we all trying to see the same man, the spiritual man, and his name is Jesus. So it's like, you know, people are trying to step on your head to get some unknown place. We're all trying to see Jesus. And only if we live right will we see him. If we don't treat our neighbor right, that is one of God's, just laws that he told us, you know, to love your neighbor as yourself. So if we don't love our neighbor, how will we love ourselves? How can we say we love others? Now, a neighbor is not next door all the time. I'm not talking about your next door neighbor. I'm not talking about your neighbor across the street. I'm not talking about your neighbor around the corner. I'm not talking about your neighbor across town. I'm not talking about your neighbor in the next city. I'm not talking about your neighbor in the next state. But I'm talking to the people that you meet every day along the way, the people that you interact with on a day-to-day basis. Those are the neighbors that I am talking about. And so we're going to have to start acting like children of God and start acting like baby children, the devil's imps, and start acting like children of God. We don't get so self-centered that we feel like we're better than anyone else. Somebody lied to you, and they might have didn't lie. It's just something come up, you know, that they just wasn't able to make their obligations and weren't able to meet them. And I know anybody that's down here on planet Earth, we're living on planet Earth. We're not in heaven yet. So we are modern people walking down here on planet Earth, living and breathing and having our being. So we've all missed appointments, right? You've all made doctors and clinicals and doctor's appointments. You had dentist appointments. You have, your eye doctor, optometrist appointments that we have missed, health issues appointments that we have missed out and say, hey, I wasn't able to make my appointment. Can I reschedule? That's all human nature. We all have had that encounter, and we will always have those encounters as long as we live here on planet Earth. But we have to be more loving, more gentle, more kind-hearted to our sisters and brothers and stop being so self-centered all the time. God said, only the pure in heart shall see him. And if your heart ain't right, you can forget it. You can forget about seeing Jesus because it's not going to happen. Until we start treating each other right and stop downing one another and stop talking against one another, you know? We're going to have to start loving one another as Christ has loved the church and as Christ has given his life for the church. And we are the church God is talking about. But, you know, people just be so quick to kick you to the curb. Why is that? And we're supposed to be long-suffering as Christ did. We take on the mindset in the Spirit of God. So if we're taking on the mindset and Spirit of God, then that's what we're supposed to be, more loving, more long-suffering, you know, more people-friendly. You know, I just sometimes wonder, you know, wonder when you say you are Christian, when you say you are saved and you're filled with the Holy Spirit deep down within you. I have a hard time swallowing that because your characteristic tells me otherwise. But we're going to have to start loving one another. Start showing courtesy. And stop putting down one another. And stop talking about each other behind your back and behind your scene and behind the iron curtains. Because guess what? The person can't see you, but God sees you. And guess what? God is writing it down. He keeps an itinerary report daily of our demeanor. He keeps it written down. Do you remember God said that he was going to open a book, the 66 books, right? Then he said there's going to be another book that he was going to open. And that was going to be the book of life. And so in order for us to even think about seeing Jesus, we're going to have to get our heart together. We're going to have a heart-to-heart examination within ourselves and look in the mirror at ourselves and take a good look in the mirror. And know to be that Christ, we're going to have the characteristic of Christ. And I mean, you know, and people are calling themselves ministers and bishops and apostles and deacons and elders and prophecies and prophets and all these kind of things. But yet you're not acting out the title. So as I was saying, God said he wants us to have and show a more needed mercy toward one another. And we know that even many people in different countries have become burdened by the accumulation of material goods that they no longer need or use, but they have a hard time getting rid of those things. They got them clogged in their homes and clogged in their business space. And one lady said that after 5 moves in 4 years, she said, you know how much stuff I brought with me to each place? I have asked myself, where was my brain? And she said, when she moved all the stuff, she then hired a professional organizer to help her learn to let go of some of the things that she was trying to cling on to. So we find out that people cling to their possessions for many different reasons. It seemed that Zechariah struggled with this problem because he was greedy. And we read in the law of Luke 19 and 1 through 10, and so it talks about this wealthy tax collector who climbed a tree to see Jesus, culminated in a complete change of heart when Zechariah said, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. That's in verse 8. He then promised, if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Then Jesus responded by saying, today, salvation has come to this house. That's in the verse 9. And we know that the new spiritual freedom that Zechariah found could be observed as he turned from getting to giving. He relaxed grip revealed a renewed heart. And that's what I'm talking about. We need to have a renewed heart. Hallelujah. And we know this one thing. We haven't learned to live until we have learned to give and learned to have more mercy and consideration on our fellow man and our fellow sister in the priesthood of God. We're going to have to start loving one another as Christ has loved us. And we're going to have to have more mercy. And he said, even have mercy for the stranger that enters your circle. Have more mercy for the orphans. And have more mercy for the widower. those of God's command. And so if we are to be like Christ, we are to carry out those commands to the fullest extent of the law. If not, then God is going to chastise us with the many stripes. And just like we chastised our children when they was kids, God chastised us right now. When we get out of line, when we say something that God is not pleased with, what God do? God sit us down and tell us, now you know that wasn't right. That wasn't nice for you to say to that gentleman. That wasn't nice for you to say to that lady. You know, I remember one time, I can put myself in the equation. I remember one time I had a difference of opinion with a lady at the bank. And I was just so heated up, you know, and I just allowed myself to get, you know, too angry. And so, you know, I said something to the bank woman that I shouldn't have said, you know. And so God, when I made it home, God let me know, you know, and this was years ago, but God let me know that he wasn't pleased with the remarks that I said to the lady at the bank. And even though I got on the phone and I called the bank and I told the bank guy, I said, the bank manager, I told him, I said, you know, who I was. And I said, I'm so sorry for the comment that I made. I said, because that wasn't like me, you know. I said, and please forgive me. And the man said, oh, I forgive you. You know, you're welcome to come back here anytime you get ready, you know. But God did not let that be that. God said, no. I want you to go a little further than that. He said, matter of fact, I want you to drive back up there. I want you to get right back into your automobile and drive back to the bank and face that person face to face and apologize to them. So if, like I said, I wouldn't tell you if I wasn't guilty of it. So everything that I'm telling you, like I have previously preached, is self-evident. I'm not telling you to do nothing that I wouldn't do. And I had to drive back up to the bank, go into the bank, look that person eyeball to eyeball, and tell them, I am so sorry. Will you forgive me? Because I acted out, you know, of character. That was not my character. And please forgive me. Now, you can't get so big-headed to where you think you're too big to apologize. Because if you are, then I feel so sorry for you. Because you should not have that kind of heart mindset that you're so big that, you know, you can't go back and apologize for something that you said or something that you did. But in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something, hallelujah, that marinated your spirit and impact your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing to you in your daily walk with God, we would be jubilant to hear from you. And if you have any prayer petitions that you would like the old Ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, we are asking you to send all your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Ministry. The station is Blog Talk. The program is Old Ship of Zion. And you can make it to Attention, Senior Pastor Janice Ward at P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Email address, Janice, all about God at Yahoo.com. Until we meet again, I want you to go in God as God goes in you. Bye for now.